Okay.
And I lived my life at the head of the big rapids. And I river drove for a living, and I worked in the woods, in the lumber. I took jobs and cut lumber in the woods. And
where
I
was?
Hunted, trapped, and guided. I was a guide.
Whereabouts did you lumber in the woods?
And I used to haul lumber out of the woods was horses and sleds. In them days, there was no trucks then. That was all horse work. And I drove most every spring, and I drove with wages, $1.25 a day for three meals a day in 16 hours.
Wow.
And that's from daylight to darkness. I brought my family, 14 children, that way.
That's not that much.
I've done.
How old are you now?
90.
You're 90.
Just a few more weeks and I'll be 90.
Well, you'll have to have a big celebration.
And I worked. Yes, I worked all winter.
You did?
On this winter. Not hard work, but quite a lot of. I made axe handles and I made snowshoes.
You have snowshoes right now, and I'd like to buy a pair. But if I could, you know.
I wouldn't dare tell too much, I suppose. You just and then I used to river drive most of the time. Whenever there was any driving, I used to go and drive because it was the only money we could get then. Work like that. And when there was no driving, well, I used to guide. Not too big a pay, but we made a living in that. And I'm going to start in now on the flood that drove us away.
When was this? When was this?
That was in, well, that's 79 years ago. Now, what would that be?
Well, in the 1800s, late 1800s.
I was 9 years old.
9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was nine.
And that was the biggest flood we've ever had?
And the ice run in the fall of the year, late in January.
It's 19.
And it jammed at the foot of the big rapids. And it stayed there. It froze in there again all winter. In the spring on the front, it couldn't push that out. It come back, come clean back through the big rapids and took our house and barn. And another one of our uncles lived there, took his house and barn, all the way clean. And we moved back on the hill back of the high hill. And the hill is still named, one of the women named it Beacon Hill. And that's the name it's got today. And we stayed there 8 days and 8 nights, right in the woods there. And there was patches of snow all through the woods everywhere, and patches of bare ground. And that jam stayed there 8 days before it poured out down below. And our house, the water went, ice went under the eaves, where it went. And there was a dishpan of dishes, and the scissors laid on the table downstairs in the house, after the log house. And that went down about a mile, and the ice pushed it ashore, and there was a plank out of the side of the house, jerked out again the rope, and it was the water covered back, and it couldn't come out again. It stayed there. And the dishpan and the scissors laid on the table, up in the rope.
Oh, boy.
Well, one cup had fell out of the pan.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, well, I would say that to you.
Yep, just one cup. The scissors laid on. However, that table ever got up through the table floor and up in the roof. It's a miracle. Nobody ever knows. Yeah. And they hauled the roof back up to where we was living, only up on the hill more, and we lived in that roof. We got another building.
Under the roof of the house?
Yeah, we lived in the roof, and that's all we had, was that roof. Like, just the roof of the house. The bottom was all gone.
Now, this was up in the Allegash, is that it?
The head of the Big Rapids.
The head of the Big Rapids. Oh, yes.
Well, the head of the Big Rapids, the end of the road. That's right, the end of the road. Yeah. And then we, after we got straightened out again, we built a wall.
If you wanted to drive up there, you could see the old place, the old home.
Yeah.
Where he'd show you the place where the house had. It's history. Nobody in the house now is left alone. Somebody else bought it.
And
good old home.
The Cantony settlement, they was all grounded out. That was away up 12 miles above where we live. And their hens and their dog and their pig all come down on the ice jam. And the hens got ashore here and there, everywhere along the river in the Big Rapids. They flew ashore, and we called one of the George St. John, his little dog. We called him ashore from right off the river.
He come to shore.
Yeah, he come ashore. And another thing happened was Dave Castoni had a pig. And they took the pig pen and the pig. Took it away. And nobody never didn't know where it was. And in the spring, when they was driving, they found the pig about 6 miles below where he lived and had 15 little pigs.
Holy!
Wow, still living.
Now, was she fat?
Well, she lived on Brexit. It's a brick.
I was wondering what she ate.
Made herself a nice bed there, comfortable.
Yeah, the
driver
found
it. Too.
The driver found that.
You come and get a steak. They have to laugh at that.
That was true, too. That was a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that. There's lots of.
They pick up hens and brought back home. They found pretty near all of them. They flew. But everywhere, and then once around the be in the road.
You see that? That jam would go down, would settle, and go down, and plug, and it come back.
Yeah.
And it would come back just as hard as go down. That's what took all our buildings away, was coming back.
Pop, who was the man that gave the warning? They didn't listen to the warning. The people, when they were... They would have been ready, took their horses and animals on the hill and get away from it.
Nazar St. John. Oh, Nazar St. John. Old Dave Castoni's mother stayed in the house. It was quite high where the house was built. Took his barn and drowned all his cattle and horses and took the barn away. And the barn come right down close home. It was in back of the where our house used to be, and the pitchfork sticking in the mile ahead.
That's something.
These horses were
drowned in their barn up above.
And his mother stayed in the house.
Too sad.
This was
her. She wouldn't get out.
He was 9 years old. You'd never forget that.
She stayed in the house, and the house didn't go.
Just lucky.
Now, you spoke of somebody giving the warning. Did he see it coming, or how did...
No, it was jammed up there. It was an awful jam.
Jammed
up there.
Way up, not moving yet.
But he thought
it
was going to, is that
right?
Yes. He just thought,
they called, you see, on telephone.
Mm-hmm. No, they said there'd be no jam. Oh, yes, the worst jam you ever had.
It wouldn't have bothered us at all if it had went right along. But see that jam in the fall. Down at the foot of the rapids, that old sawyer there. Couldn't push her out. The big island there, big island right in the middle of the river. That hole is right there.
Were the winters more severe then than they are now, do you think?
Eh?
Do you think the winters were more, was it colder then?
Oh, yes.
It really was?
Oh, sure. More snow, too.
Yeah.
In front of that rope of the old house, they made a fire. They had a nice fire and they keep warm that way.
And I'm going to tell you another thing that I've seen. Around that same time, I was just big enough to remember. But old Pete Gastone, he used to wait up 12 miles above.
They kind of got ready when they saw the water coming.
He drove from his place down to our place the third day of May with a horse and sleigh on the ice and went back home again.
My goodness.
The third day of May.
You never see that around here.
You know? Yeah. That told you it was a more colder weather.
I would have thought it had been hard for them to have gardens and things if the season is that short.
The what?
Gardens. Wasn't it hard to have gardens and raise crops?
No, we had the seasons long enough for to raise everything.
Yeah.
Oh, we raised everything, buckwheat, to freeze sometimes.
We
had a frost.
Mm-hmm.
But the winter was cold. Mm-hmm. Oh, bitter cold.
Well, what did you do if you were sick and had to have a doctor? What if you were sick and had to have a doctor? Was there a doctor around anywhere?
No, not Fort Kent.
Fort Kent?
We never were sick.
You weren't sick?
No, he wouldn't be sick because he didn't have any sickness.
Never had no sickness up home of any kind.
Well, when you had, your wife had her children, was there a midwife or?
Our mother died when I was 2 years and a half old with my youngest brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he married again. My father married again and never had no children.
But who took care of the women when they had their babies? Did they have a woman around?
Yes. Well, there was an old woman down in Dickey. That little black and the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of them there that looked after that. But up there, you see, there was no children born then.
Oh.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
You see, their families was all born. But
there's a little good sense of humor
there.
The people that
lived there,
I teased him a little bit. I said, I was told by an elderly woman. She says, I don't know, but I really believe why your husband is so smart and loves to make canoes and do things. Said, I hear that he was born in a canoe. Well, I said, that's his trade, making canoes and repairing and setting the snowshoes also.
I never was sick in my life.
He says, no, they never told him that. I said, they wouldn't tell you. They wouldn't think of telling you such a thing. But I almost believe you was the one that was born in the canoe, make the shoal, and that was all. Just that time, make the shoal, was born in the canoe. Well, that was just a story that started. That wasn't so, but they'd have fun to try to make him believe that. He won't believe it. But what about your dog when you shot the dog on the bull?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was comical. He didn't want the bull to get... He wanted to come back to the barn and stay there. He saw this yellow dog on the bull. He was up to all things. But you have the boys, you know, that let's have some fun. But that was comical. You tell them, the boy would like to hear that, Pop.
It, no, I had it. I had an old dog gone, and this was in the fall of the year. I just had a dig it, and the ground was full some. And in the cedar field, you know, the cedar stalks is thick on the ground, froze in the ground. And the cattle got in some turnips, and I shot the dog on it. And he went, he was good for that. And he didn't go too far across the cedar field. There happened to be a bunch of stalks sticking up out of the ground, and the end is frozen ground, and he kept his nose in them. And he didn't have time what was done in a second. He just turned the corner, said, "Roll the rooker on his back on the ground." He got up and stood to his sword. The city be bowed. The other way he come out there, it should have hard to get around the horse. It's hard to get around the horse.
He's getting a great kick out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. He turned so quick, you know, he didn't know. He thought he was going.
He
got up and he started back right there.
Went right by him. Oh,
did they have a schoolhouse up this way?
A schoolhouse? Well, the first school that ever was up there, they teached in our house a while. And then they built a schoolhouse about a mile above our house. As Bishop lived 2 miles above us, see? And he had a family. And they built the schoolhouse, a log cabin, halfway. And they walked down, and we'd walk up.
What kind of subjects did you have in school?
But not, they only had school one summer. And the kids get rolled up, and I never went to school, I don't think.
You don't remember?
Well, I didn't go to school over a part of 2 summers, that was all.
He said you only went to school to look at the teacher, she was so pretty. Such a good-looking woman.
They didn't have no...
Then he built a schoolhouse, the state farm, for his children. And they got any subject, you know, up to the 8th grade.
I learned to read and write after I was 20 years old. And I never learned to figure with a pencil. But I could count in my head faster than 10 people could figure. Just as fast as I count
it, up. Never head. Come another flood. Never was another flood after that. That was hard enough, you know.
It's in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, there was lots of things happened. Funny thing in
well,
my life.
On the starting line, too.
Tell me some.
Beavers.
And,
Bears.
There was a fellow that lived in Dickey. And he had a sore toe, wasn't mount anything. And he come up there. He was relation to my stepmother. He come up home there and his mother told him before he left home, he said, "Be sure not to get your toe wet now." And he come up, he stayed a day or two with us, and our cattle used to go across the river over on the farm on the other side, and I'd take the corn and go across and get them to. And I take him with me? He got in the corn wet, and I was pulling up along a bar. Oh, the water was probably a foot and a half deep. And an old log canoe dug a little pine log, you know, so he used to make them then. And I put my foot on the side of the canoe, I give it a quick turn. He was sitting on the bow. And he turned right over that way and down the water head first.
It was some fun.
He went right down. He couldn't help it. You know, the canoe tipped over and he went right off of the bow board up. And he got up out of that. I thought he went crazy. He never stopped to get in the canoe again, but he started right across the river from the water over to mainland, hoping. My mother told me not to get much older.
Yeah, that's all you could hear, and I could hear that, but he was well to hear him going down the other side.
He was afraid his foot would swell, and he'd lose that toe.
It done him good.
Then he was probably dead and wouldn't get a wash. He had a good wash.
And the water was, to go across that with a boat, you know, that girl probably come up under John. And when he'd strike into that, he tried to swim, see. He was afraid it was getting deeper. And he hit bottom and away he went. He got across and down the other side, I could hear him open. Mother told me not to get much over.
Now, you mentioned making canoes out of a log. Tell me how you did it.
Well, they dug that out. They chopped that out.
Well, was your log green or dry?
Yeah, they cut the pine down.
And made it right away?
They shaped the ends of that. They called that a Lapland canoe.
A Lapland canoe?
Yeah. And they dig that right out, and they bored, see, with a bit, small bit, in the bottom. In the side to get the thickness, see? And then they plug them holes after that.
Oh.
They had to do that to get it to all the same thickness in the bottom, see? It could be an inch some places and 2 inches some places. But by boring, they have all the same thickness.
Oh, well.
Yeah, my uncle used to make them. I had an uncle that made a good many of them. Go right in the woods and cut the pine down.
His daughter-in-law.
And make, dig it out. And make a real funnel. I pole lots of them in the river.
I've been into one of them one time and got caught on a rock. We had a hard time to get out. The town we took, put it,
That was mostly the canoes they had then. Then they, after that, they began making the...
Yes, I think so. Oh. And I think they'd be hard when you wanted to go up the river.
They're hard to handle.
Mr. Jackson, how thick were the canoes? I mean, the log that you made the canoes out of,
how big?
Yes.
Oh, well, they cut a pine down probably that big.
According to the width of the pine.
On the stump, see? Mm-hmm. Well, then they took the big end for the bow to come, see, because the stern was narrow.
Mm-hmm.
But they used to make some big canoes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, they'd make some like one. And they wasn't heavy because they had that about, that was to be probably right around 3/4 of an inch thick. Probably not quite that.
You know, madam, he's a trapper by trade. Canoe maker, snowshoe, like that. He can't stop. That's his trade. He likes to go at this work. And 8 years ago, he saw a trap up there. It happened to be, 8 years ago would be leap year, you know. He wrote me a couple of letters, and he said he wanted to know if I'd marry him. He said, I think a lot of you, I want to know right away. Well, that was such a surprise. And I wrote back, I said, I live here. I was alone, lonesome, and he was lonely. I thought it'd be a good idea if we'd get together. And I had a friend in Oakfield. She wrote to me, and I told her, I said, married the trapper, and he saw this trap for you, and you got into it, now you got to stay there. I found that so funny. And you got to stay there now. I found that so funny.
And did you say that you were prior warden?
Well, that's after that. Yeah. Long after that. Well, we've been together only 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
My first man, I was 39 years with him.
Mm-hmm.
8 years with Mr. Jackson here. So it's a good life. We enjoy still the river and canoes. And the things
sure.
I like, the woods.
Sure.
And we go fishing and we have a good time. We meet people from Caribou, Prescott, Portland, anywhere. We've been traveling before.
Mm-hmm.
I had been anywhere a lot, and him too for a while. And we meet on the river. We're so glad to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're pleased to see them. And then they come back and tell the folks down there we're still alive, we're getting a lot of fish, and we're having a good time. Nothing happened. We take care of ourselves. They're so uneasy and I kind of busy. He gets, maybe he could take tired or something. Well, if we get tired, we go ashore. Set the tent up and rest there a couple of days and we go again to a different place and keep on going to the best fishing places.
Oh, I used to go over in the woods. I'd take a knapsack for a grub for a whole week. Never come out. Sleep right outdoors. Cold nights, there you'd hear the frost cracking in the trees, chasing blackcats. We'd follow their tracks and we'd get them.
Blackcat, now what's that?
Well, that's them. Well, that's a fur that they sell. It's, they call it a fisher.
Oh, yeah. And there used to be a lot of those around?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I got
eight. Came deer and partridges.
I got $100 a piece.
Mr. Jackson, you said you used to trap. What did you trap on you, besides a fisher?
Oh, everything. Everything. You got beaver.
Did you get
meat?
A lot of these?
Eh?
Did you get a lot of these? I mean,
oh, beavers?
Yes.
I got one winter, I got 60. And they were $60 a piece.
Oh my.
Good fur, you know, lovely. Nice fur. Mm-hmm. Beavers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but since that they've went right down. Mm-hmm. Not worth catching now.
Yeah.
How about the other animals, about other animals, otter, you know?
And, oh yes, otter.
Mink and
yeah, they were, you know, not too hard. But I used to catch mink, muskrat, otter, weasel.
And the black cat. That's good
black
for
cat.
Black. The black cat.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't bother trapping much. I just followed the black cat.
Follow that trap.
I just right there across the country with a bag of grub wherever I struck a track. They about every 8 days they would come out. They have a den, see, in a hollow log. And they'd come out and go get something to eat. And they go back again probably for 8 days.
They go long ways away from their den.
Oh, they make a big circle and come back to the den. You get them in a holler log. Holler pine, holler cedar. That's what they did.
Pop, an interesting thing you told me one time about hunting deer, the holler. Your cousin George with you from Caribou there. But he was a man, I know, about the same age as Pop, still living.
Oh my God.
That was comical, though, what happened to them two fellows in
yeah, that was a comical escape for sure.
You never heard the likes of that. I laughed so much when he told me that at first. I said,
we went deer hunting, you know, in the wintertime. There were lots of snow, deer couldn't go. And we went in or down to the foot of the hill and we crossed the river and come up the other side and it was getting late, quite late. And we struck a deer yard and there was two deer in it, just around the head, around the ring in a thicket. And we had a dog, a little dog, and the dog was after them. They were going round and round and that. And I stood on the slow outside. They had to be trailer. And I got George, he's my first cousin. I got him to go in and go around, you see, and I was going to go the other way. And he just had time to get in on snowshoes, you know, going around that trail. And the dog come with the deer and went right by me and right onto George's snowshoe with it. And just when he got to George, the deer, the dog grabbed one by the hind leg, and the lats come out of that, you could hear it for miles. And I went right over George and he snowshoe, dog, deer and all, and round again. And it was getting dusk. And I done the purpose.
What happened to George?